Today, we're going to talk about the urgency around sharing the gospel because it's not okay for us to stay silent when it comes to sharing the gospel. And all of us, at some level, we know what it feels like to have good news that we can't keep to ourselves, right? Have you ever had something you were so excited to share that you couldn't keep it to yourself? Or maybe are you just that person anyways? That if someone gives you information or you know something that no one else knows, you're the worst person to give that information to. That would be me. I'm that guy who is the worst person to give that information to because I get really excited when it comes to sharing things and I just can't wait. And so I asked permission from my wife to share this story. So if you're like listening to the story I'm about to share and you're like, ooh, brother's gonna get in trouble later for sharing all of that. No, he's not. I asked if it was okay, and I got the approval from my wife to share this. I wanna tell you guys a story about how my wife and I got engaged. We started dating just pretty quick after we met. It was just a few months after we had met. We began dating, and it was only a couple weeks into our dating relationship that I told her, like, I'm gonna marry you. And she was like, yeah, I know. I mean, so it didn't freak her out or anything. I was 18 years old at the time, and I got married when I was 19, so just not too long after that. But so I knew I was gonna propose to her at some point. And when it came to actually trying to figure out how to pick a ring out and all this kind of stuff, fast forward from around August when we started dating all the way to December, and we lived in Arkansas, and I was a youth pastor in a small church in a small town, and we went to Little Rock to do some Christmas shopping, and I had already talked to her dad and asked permission if I could ask for his daughter's hand. I got the green light on that, got the thumbs up from future father-in-law on this deal. And so now here we are in Little Rock, and we're in the mall, and we're shopping. So I'm with my future mother-in-law, and I'm with my girlfriend, Holly Ogden, at the time. And we go to Zales. We just happen to go to Zales in the mall. And I said, hey, you know, what would you think would be a good ring, like if you were to, you know, get married? You know, let's just say, what ring stands out to you? So she looked at them and tried a few on, and then she picked one out, and she's like, oh, this one's so pretty. I love this, and this is what I love about it. It's so cool. Okay, great. So we put it back, but what she didn't know is that I was going to go back and actually buy the ring. So her mother and I had concocted a plan where I had to go do something else, and went and bought the ring unawares to Holly. So now I've got this ring, and can I tell you, this thing's burning a hole in my pocket, buddy. I can't stand that I now have the key to engagement. It's in my pocket, and I want to pop the question so bad, but I couldn't because there was a plan in place. There was a lot of detail that went into this plan because I had coordinated with our pastor, I had coordinated with her mom, I had coordinated with a videographer who was going to be present, and what the plan was supposed to be is that we were in our small country church that we were going to, after the Christmas Eve service on the 24th, the pastor was gonna allow me to make an announcement, and then I was going to ask Holly to marry me in front of the church, and that was the plan. And we had people coming there to be a part of that. We had a guy hidden up in the sound booth area with a video camera, the whole nine yards. And it was supposed to be on December 24th, that was the plan. But I was really excited. And she was over at my parents' house and we were watching a movie and I couldn't stand it. And because I had this ring in my pocket. And so I asked her to marry me at my mom and dad's house, like right there. It was just us there, like watching this movie. And we started talking. Next thing you know, I asked her to marry me. She says, yes. So that worked out. And then she puts the ring on her finger, and I said, you're gonna have to give that back to me. And she said, what? I said, so there's like this whole plan, in place. And it was just a couple weeks later that there was this plan, and I had to explain to her what was going to happen. And you're going to have to act surprised, because I can't, like there's people coming to this, and like there's arrangements that have been made. And she goes, okay. And thus begins the journey of a life with living with Derek Armstrong. And so, so she says, well, can I wear it for a little bit? And I said, yeah. So we wanted to go out where she could kind of show it off. So we went to the gas station on the corner. And I'm romantic like that. And then after we went back, we came back to my parents' house, and I said, okay, give me the ring. And so she gives me the ring back, and I put it back in the thing. And then the stage is set. It's Christmas Eve. The whole thing happens. I get down on one knee, ask her. She goes, oh, my gosh, I had no idea this was happening. It's not as if I understood all of this. And so it's great. We kept that secret from her mom for almost 20 years because we didn't have the courage to tell her. And we finally worked up the courage, and Holly had it said, hey, just so you know, this happened, and you know, anyways, and we're still alive. So there's that. And that's a good thing. But I was having the hardest time keeping a secret because I wanted to ask the question so bad. I was so excited. And this led to also us giving each other Christmas gifts to one another in like October because we were so excited to give each other Christmas gifts. We just couldn't wait till December. And so that led to some of those habits as well. But when you've got something exciting to share and you've got something you're excited to do, it's hard to keep that in. The prophet Jeremiah says it like this. He says, man, I have a word from the Lord and I can't not help but share it because it's like a fire that's shut up in my bones. It's like it's got to come out. Even Jesus said that we've got to praise the Lord or the rocks are going to cry out. Like there's something that has to be done because the good news is just too good to be kept quiet. And we don't stay quiet when we have good news to share. We look for a way to share it. So Paul, in Romans 15, now has just wrapped up the section on unity and hope and how Christ welcomed us. And now he's pivoting into personal mission and he can't hold back. And so what we're going to see in these verses that we're going to go through today, starting with verse 14, is that in these verses, he shares what drives him. And more importantly, what should drive every believer? Because remember, we're still in this section in the book of Romans where it's describing a response to the mercy of God. It's a response to the grace of God. This is how we as Christians, this is how we should respond to the fact that we were once alienated from the life of God. We were strangers, we were foreigners, we were exiled, we were rebels, and now we are children of God. We're grafted in, we're forgiven, we're welcome, we're loved, we're adopted. We're now a part of his family. And so because of that, man, the response should be, I cannot help but share and tell everyone about this gospel or this good news. So here's our big idea for today. If we have been filled with hope, we must become bold with the message. Write that down. If we have been filled with hope, and have you been filled with hope? Yes. Then we must become bold with the message. And the gospel makes us bold, and here's what it does. It pushes us past what is comfortable. So let's go over to Romans 15. If you don't have a Bible with you today, our ushers are ready and willing to bring a Bible right to you where you sit. All you have to do is slip up your hand and let them know you need a Bible. If you do not own a Bible, then that is our gift to you. So they're looking for hands. If anyone needs a Bible this morning, feel free to raise it and they will bring it to you. Over in Romans chapter 15, verse 14, the Apostle Paul says this, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable and sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So here, we see that Paul says, I am really happy with you guys. You're doing a good job. You're full of goodness and you're full of knowledge and you're able to instruct one another. It's good when the body can help the body to be edified and to grow. And he's saying you guys are excelling at that. You're doing well with the fact that you're having some Bible study, some group discussion. You're going deeper in the things of the Lord. You're talking and understanding the gospel to one another. You're encouraging one another. You're serving one another well. You're doing good inside of the safety of the context of your church family. He says, but I want to remind you, like, there's this other calling that we have to not just be comfortable ministering to one another inside the context of the safety of the one another's of the local church, but there is a world that needs to hear this gospel message. There is a world that needs to hear because we have received grace and you don't want to keep it to yourself. The gospel should give us boldness because we should be in awe of what he's done. The more I think about what he's done, the more I grow in solidifying my understanding of my need and what he's done, my response should be one that's passionate, that's clear, that's faithful, because I'm growing in understanding what he's done. So therefore, I'm getting better and better at responding and articulating to what he's done, because I'm growing deeper in loving him and knowing him and understanding who he is. So it's not just about me learning more things about God through the scripture because I'm going to win some kind of trophy at Bible trivia, or because I'm just going to become this really smart believer who can have interesting conversations with people. Those things are great. There's nothing wrong with that. But if it stops there, then we're missing the point, because it's supposed to cause in us such a fire and a passion and a transformation that we are getting stronger and stronger in our ability and our urgency to go out and proclaim the gospel to other people. So the more that I understand that, I should want to tell, and then not should I just only want to tell, I should want to learn how to tell effectively. I want to sharpen that story. I want to sharpen what I know about God through his word so I can share it with others more accurately, because I'm learning the things about him. And it's changing me, it's shaping me, it's informing my calling, my passion, it's informing my purpose, and that is to bring glory to God through sharing the gospel and through making disciples once those people come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we all know, like most things, that when you're exposed to it, when you're around it, when it becomes part of your rhythm, we can also become very familiar with it as well. And familiarity can sometimes dull urgency. And familiarity can cause us to also drift from the core heart of what we're supposed to be focused on. We can begin to think about our own preferences. We can begin to think about what we want. We can begin to think about what's in this for me. We can begin to think more inward focused, and we're missing the gospel urgency because we become familiar. Or maybe we don't even have that. Maybe it just becomes even duller to where our familiarity just simply becomes a box that we check and motions that we go through and rhythms that we maintain, because it's just something we do, because it's what we've always done. And we have to be careful with things that are familiar to us, that we don't allow those things to come so familiar that it dulls urgency in our lives and causes us to drift away from the core of the gospel. Because you could hear the gospel preached through the book of Romans and go, yeah, I know the gospel, Pastor. I understand this. I'm an expert on the book of Romans. I've studied the book of Romans more than any other book in the Bible, and I know it frontwards and backwards. I can quote it. I don't even need to open the book. I've memorized it. That's great. You can say, I've memorized John 3:16. You can say, I've faithfully take communion every time I gather with other believers. That's great. All those things are great. But when they become rhythm, when they become routine, sometimes we can miss out on the precious, the holy, the things that matter within that, because we're just checking a box or it's familiar and we drift. And we don't mean to drift. We don't plan on drifting away from the heart of that. We don't plan on drifting away and letting things become familiar and letting our ears get dulled to those things. It just happens out of routine. And so a way to combat that is to continually be reminding yourself of your need and how Christ has answered that need and continually fueling that fire for the awe that you have of him. In Revelation, you see where there was criticism brought to several of the church by the angel of the Lord. And in Revelation 3, you see that the church in Ephesus, the criticism that was brought to them was that they had forgotten their first love. It's this idea of it's become familiar, it's become routine, it's become commonplace. Where's the love? Where's the passion there? And so Paul is saying to the church in Rome, he's saying, as I'm wrapping things up here, I want you to understand, you guys are teaching each other, you're well-abled, I'm satisfied with that, good job. But make sure that you remember the gospel call to share this good news. There's a passion that should be in us as believers. Let's keep reading. In verse 17, in Christ Jesus then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus, I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. So here Paul, he says, I'm boasting in this ministry and what Christ has accomplished. You see, he's laser focused in this moment on making sure that he's not building upon another person's work. He's wanting to reach people who have never been reached. That's one of the things that I love most about one of our partners that we have at Bridge Cities, and that is the Timothy Initiative. The Timothy Initiative, what they actually do is they train up indigenous people in other countries to be able to go out and to share the gospel effectively and make disciples of those that they have shared the gospel with. And then they take those people, and from that group, they begin to form a community of believers or a church within an area where there is no church. And so they're creating and planting churches all over the world through this training that these leaders go through to be able to share the gospel and understand how to lead and disciple and shepherd people through that. And it's happening at an incredible rate all over the world, and God is blessing that ministry, which is why BCC is proud to be a partner with that ministry, because we want to be investing in things and partner with things that are fruitful and that are moving the needle in the realm of eternity and seeing a kingdom impact being made. And they're definitely doing that. But one of their rules is that they don't go in and launch a church planter in an area where there are already churches. They specifically go to areas where there aren't churches or where there's a great need. And that's one of the coolest things to me about TTI is that they're very intentional. They're very laser focused. And this is where we hear the same kind of heart from Paul. Paul's saying, listen, I want to make sure that it's great. You guys are good. Stay focused. I'm going to go and make sure other people hear the gospel as well. I'm going to go and preach the gospel to them who have not heard. And God is working in ways in and through us that we don't even know how. He may be moving the needle in the grand scheme of eternity, because it's ultimately for his glory. And we just have to trust and see how God may be using us. And we are called to be faithful. One of the things that TTI does is they have this concept that is in their training material that's called raising the sails. And so it asks the believer to spend time raising the sails, which is really just another way to say enhance and intentionally position yourself to become more aware. So you're doing the things that you can do and the things you can be responsible to do to proverbially raise the sails to say, God, here I am. I want to be used. I'm aware. Help me to be more aware of needs around me. Help me position my heart through prayer, through different ways to become more sensitive. But the Holy Spirit is the one who provides the wind and gives the direction and gives the opportunity. And so the Holy Spirit directs where we go, but yet it's our responsibility to raise the sails. So a way that I raise my sails in the morning is that I will pray, God, help me be aware. And I like this idea of sails or an antenna, where I'm just saying, God, help me to be more aware of the people around me. Because how often do we get in routine as people, and our routine causes us to not become very aware because we're just so used to it. We don't really see the things that are around us. We may not even be sensitive or aware to the needs that are around us because we're used to going to the same job or to the same coffee shop, ordering the same thing, or, you know, we work with the same people in the same office, and everything just kind of has a familiar thing about it that we are not as sensitive to the needs that God may be wanting to highlight around us. The same could be true of maybe even you going to lunch today. Maybe if you were to intentionally say, Lord, help me to raise my sail, to raise my antenna, to be more aware of how your Spirit may be directing or influencing something as common and as mundane as interacting with a waiter or waitress at a restaurant when you go to lunch today. And maybe the Holy Spirit either drops something in your heart or you see an opportunity or a need there where you can connect with them. And you may see great fruit from that interaction, and guess what? You also may not. It's not always for you to see. I wanna share this story with you from last week. I had the opportunity to travel to Wisconsin to go and preach at the church that I pastored previously before coming to Iowa and preaching here and being the pastor of BCC. And I was there for 9.5, almost 10 years at that church in Wisconsin. And this was my first time to be invited to come and to preach there since I've been here for almost 4.5 years at BCC. So it was a great honor and privilege to get to go serve and preach and see a lot of familiar faces. It was really cool last weekend to get to see a bunch of familiar faces and people that we didn't know too, because the church has grown and that's great, and the church is doing really well. And at the end of both of the services, people would come up and, you know, we would hug and give updates and, hey, how's this, how's that? Or, you know, we would talk about different things. And then there was this one couple after the second service that came up to me, and they just had tears down their eyes, and they were holding two children. There was one that was 4 years old, one that was 2 years old, and they had tears in their eyes just streaming down their face. And this lady came up to me, and she just grabs me and just like holds me. And it was a little awkward because I didn't know who this lady was. And she just comes up to me and like holds me, and she's sobbing. And this guy's just got tears coming down his face. And they said, do you remember us? And I said, I'm sorry, I don't. I said, you look familiar, but I can't remember your name. And they said, that's okay. They said, we came to church here 2 weeks before you moved to Iowa. Like, we weren't here very long. We were just here for a couple of weeks. And they said, and you met with us one time. We asked for an appointment with you. And I said, oh yeah. I said, keep telling me more. It's starting to come back to me. You know, 4.5 years, a lot's happened, and it's kind of jogging my memory. And she said, when we met with you, we had just gotten married. We had only been married like a month or so. And she said, we had all these big plans about how we were gonna do all these adventures together. We're hikers and kayakers and campers, and we love to do that kind of stuff. And then we both wanted a big family, and we were gonna have all these kids, and we had these big dreams. And then just a few weeks into our marriage, I started having some issues. I went to the doctor, and she found out that she had MS, and it was really aggressive. And she found out that all of those dreams were gonna be shut down in a matter of months because of how aggressive her disease was. And they said, I was telling you in that meeting that I didn't know if I needed to leave my new husband because I don't want him to have to deal with me ruining his life and all of our plans. Like, that's where they were. That's how like upset they were over this. They're like, should we just amicably get divorced because I don't want to ruin your life and you have to take care of me forever. And he was like, no, I'm committed to her. And they were talking about all that. And they were like, but why would God let us find each other? Because we both had such similar interests. We both had such similar things that we wanted to do. And she said, why would God bring us together to find one another and then take all of that away in an instant? And she said, we didn't grow up in a Christian home. She said, but we said, we're gonna go find a pastor in town that would be willing to meet with us, who would maybe answer that question for us. And she said, do you remember what you said? No. I don't remember what I said. She said, can I tell you that what you said, she said, caused us to stay standing strong in faith, trusting in the Lord no matter what ended up happening. She said, we were ready to leave faith. We were ready to go, we're done with God. We may even give up on our marriage. Like, this is just so heartbreaking for us. It was like their whole world and all their plans had crumbled. And they said, but what you said encouraged us. And we kept coming to church even after you moved. And she said, can I tell you that 6 months later, she said, I got pregnant. She said, and then God healed me. She said, I don't have any symptoms. She said, I don't have anything at all. She said, and we have two children. She said, I want you to meet my children. And they're just crying. They're introducing me to their children and all of this kind of stuff. And I walk away from that. I don't remember anything that happened after that. Because I was just going, God, you are so huge. I rode the whole way home just kind of in silence for the most part. I took my motorcycle up there, and I normally listen to music on a long ride, and I didn't listen to music. I just rode home in silence just on the bike, and I kept replaying the situation over and over again. And I believe that the Lord impressed something on my heart during that ride of silence, and it was this, that God is moving in those moments where you may never get a glimpse of what the end result would be. Your job is just to be faithful, because it's not about you. It's about him. And God shows up in big ways, because she told me this. She said, we're small group leaders in the church now. We've been leading a small group for about 3 years. She said, we've brought a lot of people to this church and led people to faith in Christ because we've shared with them what God did in our lives, and people have trusted in the Lord. She said, a lot of things have happened. She said, and we hoped that we would get to maybe one day before we were in heaven, get to see you again. She said, so this is really cool to get to share with you what God did in that one little moment that I don't even remember, okay? Are you hearing the heart here? Are you getting this? What God is using you for his glory in moments where you don't always get to see the end of the story. But I believe God lets us see it sometimes. God lets us see some victory sometimes, and aren't you thankful for that? But it's not for you. It's not to pump you up. It's so you will go, wow, God is big. And God does awesome things for his purposes and for his glory. And he does it in big ways, and we may not ever know about it, because it may not be for us to know. What is our job? To raise our antenna, to live with a gospel urgency, to live with a Holy Spirit sensitivity, and say, Lord, here I am, my sails are raised. What would you have me do? How can I live a life of faithfulness to God, knowing with confidence that he's doing stories like that that aren't for me, it's for him, and it's for his glory. And somehow he's using us in these little small interactions and in ways that you may not even remember or even be aware of. And so we have to understand that this calling to share the gospel, this urgency to share the gospel, that it's real because it's impacting eternity. This is eternal stuff here. So we can't allow comfort to dull our calling and dull our sensitivity. This week, I get to take a step in discomfort. I'm going to ask you to pray for me, because I'm going to Kenya, Africa, and I'm leaving on Wednesday, and I'm going with the Timothy Initiative. I'm going with my good buddy Dale McCauley, who a lot of you know. He's been here many times. And I'm going to spend a week there to actually work with the Timothy Initiative, to where I can, on behalf of our church, make some connections and also help some other pastors to make some connections with this great ministry, and also deepen our relationship with Pastor Emmanuel, the one that I've talked about to you before, who has a vision to plant 4,500 churches in the coastal region of Kenya. And so I'm going to get to reconnect with Pastor Emmanuel and talk about what a deeper partnership there could look like. And so I'm looking forward to be able to do that. So if you would just pray for me. But can I tell you that whether it's something that you're called to do, that God calls you into something that may cause you to be uncomfortable because you're going to a completely different country, or maybe because you're going outside of just your day-to-day comfortable rhythm, it's still a stretch. Amen? And it still requires trust and it requires faith, but the motivation for it, the motivation for stepping outside of what's comfortable is not the guaranteed cool stories that come out of it, because you may see that and you may not. The reason you step out is because how could I not share what God has done in me with others? It happened to me, but it's not just for me, it's for the world, amen? And that's what God has called us to, each and every one of us. And so everybody might not go to Kenya. That's okay, you don't have to go. But where are you called to go? The grocery store? Maybe even at your own dining room table? How can you continue to increase that gospel awareness? Let's keep reading. In Romans 15, let's pick it back up in verse 22. Paul says, this is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. Because remember, Paul had never been to the church in Rome. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you. Once I have enjoyed your company for a while, at present, however, I am going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessing, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessing. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by the way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. So Paul's saying, there's some gifts prepared. I'm going to be taking some gifts from here to there because the church is just sharing what they have, where the churches are and where the needs are. And he's saying, hey, I'm helping to do that. And so he's basically taking these resources and distributing to these other places. And he's saying, I hope on the way I get to stop by and say hi. But I'm living on mission, and my mission, I'm trying to get to Spain, but I also have something to do. Why? He's saying, I'm being moved by this gospel urgency. He wants to be refreshed by fellowship, but the gospel urgency is the priority for Paul we see here. And at Bridge City Church, our vision is the same. That's why we partner with the Timothy Initiative for church planting to spread the gospel all over the world. Even our children's ministry. I think so far this year, they planted something like 7 churches in Africa just from our children's ministry alone. And then also, that's why we partner with 180 here locally to restore broken lives in our region through the hope of the gospel. And through discipleship with those men and women and helping broken families find healing and people find healing and freedom from the chains of addiction and bad decisions that have caught up with them in life and they felt hopeless. Now they're finding hope and restoration. That's why we support Youth Hope, where Youth Hope is reaching the next generation and impacting people with the good news of Jesus. This is why we're planning to plant churches throughout the Quad Cities. This is why God's called us to do that. Because if you remember, there is an urgency here because according to the Barna 2019 survey that was done, the Quad Cities is number 15 in the nation of the most post-Christian population in the entire country. Per capita, the Quad Cities is number 15. That's ahead of big cities like Las Vegas, Nevada. That's ahead of big cities like Chicago. Per capita, we have more post-Christian people. That means people who have heard and who have ignored and rejected the good news of Jesus. And can I tell you this sobering fact, that the Quad Cities is number 2 on that list in the Midwest behind Madison, Wisconsin. Madison's number 1 and Quad Cities is number 2. And this is public information. You can go and look at this Barna 2019 survey, and that was 2019 before COVID, so I don't know what it is now. So we did the math and we ran the numbers, and what that means is if we wanted to get off that list of top 100, in other words, if we wanted to be number 101, getting completely off of that list of top 100, that the Quad Cities would need to see over 67,000 people come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our mission. That's our Spain. That's our mission. That's to the people who have not heard, or to the people who have heard and who have rejected, that we have a mission, we have a calling. We are here for a reason. And yes, fellowship amongst ourselves. Yes, grow in the scripture amongst ourselves. Paul says you're doing good at that. I would say Bridge Cities, let's keep growing and doing well with that. Let's not stop. It's not putting one down to pick up another. It's saying, no, continue to do that. But it's also saying, don't forget, don't become apathetic, don't become comfortable. Stretch out and actually be a doer of the word, a sharer of the word, with an urgency and a care and a sensitivity and a fervency and a passion because of what Christ has done in you. Let's finish this chapter in verse 30. He says, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Paul says, brothers, sisters, would you strive together with me in prayer? You see, this isn't a solo mission. This is a partnership. We're all called to own the mission, not spectate, not outsource it, but to own it. I love the saying that says, if not us, who? And if not now, when? If not us, if it's not you, if it's not me, who's gonna go? You see, this isn't up to the paid professionals. This is not what this is. That's not the idea, that we can just outsource this. No. If not us, then who? And if not now, When are we going to share? When are we going to raise our sails? When are we going to raise our antenna and say, okay, Lord, I want to share what you've done. Let it be a part of the overflow of your life, because the gospel didn't reach you to stop with you. Jesus didn't reach down in his love and his mercy and grace to reach you and go, okay, that's it. No, it didn't end with you. So let it flow out of your life through prayer, through conversation, through intentionally raising your sail, through asking the Holy Spirit for boldness. So who needs that invitation? Who needs your story? Who needs you to say yes to being faithful, to saying, yes, Lord, here I am. Use me for your glory. Help me to prepare myself, to equip myself through your word, to gain confidence in you, knowing that when I'm obedient, when I'm looking for those opportunities because I'm being sensitive to the Spirit of God, when I'm obedient to those things, man, I may get the words all wrong, or hey, I may not even remember what I said or remember the person. But it's bigger than you. And it's not about you. It's about God through you imploring others to be reconciled to God. That's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 and 21, talking about you're an ambassador for Christ. You're a representative for Christ. If we have been filled with hope, we must become bold with the message. Amen? So Father, help us do that. Because we can get so busy and so caught up with our own thing that we're not being sensitive to how your Spirit would lead, guide, use us. We get so comfortable. Help us to stretch beyond what is comfortable. Because Lord, we know that comfort and calling seldom coexist. That you're calling us to deny ourselves, to die to self, to lay down our lives, to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable for you. That's worship. That's service. That's a response to the gospel. So help us to remember our need for you. Remind us, Lord, where you met us and showed us your grace, and where we said yes to you, where we were in awe of you. Bring us to that first love, and may that first love create in us an urgency and a boldness and a trust and an obedience to go into all the world and to make disciples, to go into these cities, to go into our workplaces, to go into our neighborhoods, to go into our homes and make disciples. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.